Welcome to this anointed message taught by Pastor Lynn Schall of Amazing Grace Fellowship. We believe your life will be enriched by hearing the word of truth, the reality of faith, and the message of the goodness of God. Here's Pastor Lynn.
Ephesians talks about putting on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand. And there's just times instead of getting up, you just like to stay in bed. There's times, though, in life that we've all just been there. And I just wanted to take a little bit of time to see if we could maybe offer some help along the way. The first point that we talked about last week was what? Anybody, somebody tell me if you got your notes, with the exception of my wife. Know your place and know your people. So turn around to somebody and say, I think you're my peeps. Right? Know your place and know your people. And we read from the book of Acts, chapter 4, where Peter and John stood at the gate called Beautiful, and the man came, when Peter and John came to the temple, the guy was at the gate called Beautiful, and he was healed that day, because Peter said, silver and gold I don't have, but what I do have, I give to you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. He was healed. You would think that that would just elicit not only praise from the guy that was healed, but from everybody else, right? But it didn't. And we read how the religious leaders brought Peter and John before them and was mad, was angry, was probably lost a little bit of face, and told Peter and John that they could no more use that name. How many of you know there is power in the name of Jesus Christ? And aren't you thankful for that? It really does amaze me how far outside of God humans can stray from being kind. Isn't that right? You seriously would just think that the religious leaders would just go, cool, you've tapped into something, go help others. But outside of God, guys, man, I tell you what, it's kind of a dog-eat-dog world, isn't it? Right? I told the Wednesday night crowd, I was reading about something that took place in an African country of where the Red Cross did a study on a particular therapy. You know, more people die of malaria each year than any other. I think it's the number one killer in the world. Third world countries. It's something that's sad, but anyhow, a cure was they took 154 people and they did a scientific test to see about this cure. This cure costs less than $1 per person. Think about that. All 154 were cured in 24 hours. I think there was one that happened between 24 and 48 hours that they were all cured. Think about that. So, filmers were there. Red Cross people were there, filmed this whole thing. And they were the average Joe healthcare provider worker that was there was just thrilled. Cure for malaria. Malaria is now can be fully eradicated very, very cheaply and very easily. And what's wild is once the Red Cross people got back to Red Cross International, guess what they did? Distanced themselves from the whole thing. Said, we were never there. We never participated in the study, confiscated all the video but one, and said, there is no cure. And I just thought, isn't that something? We would rather just make money from our pharmaceuticals than help people. I thought, there you go. Outside of God, how far can human beings go in being godless and compassionate? Anyhow, that still just boggles my brain that could take place. But when Peter and John were let go, they says they went to their companions. Well, you got to know who your companions are. Who do you hang with? Where is your place? And as the body of Christ, Dean Yates spoke in our celebration services, the first service, May 5th. He spoke about how important it is to know your place. And then I'm adding for this message, know your people. Where do you go and who do you turn to? And aren't you thankful for the body of Christ? I'm telling you what, thank God for the body of Christ. The next thing that we talked about, and we ended with this, to button down your emotions. Don't allow your feelings to rule. And I had several people ask me if I would go a little bit more in depth on that. So Wednesday night was kind of an abbreviated service because of Vacation Bible School. But I went into it a little bit further. Feelings and emotions are usually tied to circumstantial happenings. An event happens and it affects us one way or the other, right? And so if we allow are, and the idea that I was bringing out is to button down your emotions and your feelings and to not allow them to rule. The idea isn't to ignore feelings. The idea isn't to become a robot and be feelingless or emotionless. First of all, that's impossible. But it's not that idea. What I'm trying to say is that when we don't feel like we're up for the fight, there's a lot of times that there's circumstantial things that have taken place or are taking place that affects our feelings and emotions, and in light of this, most of the time in a negative way, right? And the idea is to just put a lid on it in terms of not let it build up. I'm not talking about that. Not pretend like you have none, but to just realize I can't act on these emotions or these feelings that I'm having right now, especially when they're negative, especially when they're contrary to the Word of God. We have to come to a spot that we just don't allow ourselves to be ruled by them. Because if we do, we're in effect, because feelings and emotions are most of the time directly tied to circumstances, if we're moved by and act upon all of our feelings and emotions, then we're being ruled by circumstance. And how many of you know circumstance changes regularly, yeah, right? You can be happy in the morning, 4 hours later, you can be devastated, right? And we can't be ruled by that. In other words, that can't be the determining factor in how we make decisions. I shared Wednesday night how that when it's always been my counsel and my advice that when somebody's lost a loved one, especially a widow or something like that, that for the next several months, there's going to be a range of emotions that are just going to can boggle the human mind of how many different emotions a person can have. And I just always encourage a widow, don't make any important decision for a year. Just don't. Just buckle it down. Get through those, you know, those emotions are there, but just don't make any important type of decision, because we're not in a spot. When we make a decision in sometimes those states, how many of you know it's not always the wisest decision that we make? And so that's all I'm trying to say is we can't allow circumstances to lead us, which affect our feelings and emotions. We can't allow them to rule. Let's get into the third one. The next one is, I'm going to say this, stay disciplined, do what's right. Okay. And let's go to the book of Daniel, if you wouldn't mind. The book of Daniel. Has anybody done your devotions in the book of Daniel recently? It's a book that not everybody gets to. And if you need to look in the table of contents, feel free. No problem. Daniel chapter 6. By the way, if you haven't followed the Lord in water baptism, stick around for second service. I'll be teaching a little bit upon it. And if you haven't followed the Lord in water baptism, I want to encourage you to do it for sure. Okay? Are you in Daniel 6 yet? Everybody there? Okay. It pleased Darius, verse 1, to set over the kingdom 120 satraps. I think that's an interesting name, by the way. What do you do for a living? Oh, I'm a satrap. To be over the whole kingdom. And over these, so over the 20 satraps, three governors, of whom Daniel was one, that the satraps might give account to them so that the king would suffer no loss. In other words, an accountability network. Then this Daniel distinguished himself above the governors and satraps because an excellent spirit was in him. And the king gave thought to setting him over the whole realm. Let's stop there for a moment. It says an excellent spirit was in him. Now, this isn't talking about an unbodied being spirit. Okay? So it's not talking about some spirit. Are you with me on that? We're talking about a course of living. We're talking about a disciplined life. We're talking about a, if I could say it this way even, I'm just trying to flesh it out, a good attitude was in him, okay? And that's really important, and we're going to see it even further as we read. So the governors and the satrap sought to find some charge against Daniel concerning the kingdom. The kingdom of who? The kingdom of Darius, right? But they could find nor charge nor fault. Now look, because he was faithful, underline that, because he was faithful, nor was there error or fault found in him. So that's the idea that I'm talking about here. When we don't feel like we're up for the fight, we can still stay disciplined. We still can do what's right. Are you with me? Okay, three of you? Okay, we can. Now let's read. These men said, "We shall not find any charge against this Daniel unless we find it against him concerning the law of his God." So these governors and satraps thronged before the king and said thus to him, "King Darius, live forever. All the governors of the kingdom, the administrators and the satraps, the counselors and advisors, have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whoever petitions any god or man for 30 days, except you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing so that it cannot be changed, according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which does not alter. Therefore, King Darius signed the written decree." Now, when Daniel saw that the writing was signed, stop right there. So Daniel's involved in this group. Daniel's involved in the leadership, and he knew the ramifications. So I just have a question for you. What do you think Daniel felt like on the inside? Handwriting's on the wall. It says there, that it says it in a couple times, it says that this law of the Medes and the Persians does not alter. Or they say it another way, that once it's signed, it cannot be changed. So Daniel knew. Now there's a line in the sand now. If he petitions anybody else other than King Darius, he's going to be thrown into the lion's den. Let me just ask a question. Do you think that would give you cause to pucker? I think it would. I just think inside, you'd just go, okay, this is getting real. This thing called serving God is getting real. Okay? So, I love this. So when Daniel knew that the handwriting was signed, okay, it's law now. He went home and in his upper room, with his windows open toward Jerusalem, he knelt down on his knees three times that day and prayed and gave thanks before his God. Let me tell you, the last phrase is the key phrase to this whole story. As was his custom since early days. Let me say that again. As was his custom since early days. So in other words, here's the thing. Daniel had a discipline, a part of him that daily, right? Three times a day since his early days, since he was young, he established something in his life that was able to carry him through those difficulties of life, so that when finally he comes to this spot, that this is kind of a big difficulty. This difficulty carries with it eternal consequences of whether he's going to live or die. And I just love, it doesn't say, and he ran home and closed all the windows and got under the covers and prayed in a whisper to his God. Right? It says, with the windows open to Jerusalem, in other words, he didn't change a thing. Everybody say, didn't change a thing. Let me tell you what. Hopefully, now that begs the question in our lives. What sort of discipline do we have? And I encourage you, if you don't have a regular, disciplined, faithful time that you're spending with God, I encourage you to quickly begin to establish one. And the reason why is because difficulty will come. Adversity will come. That's just life. It's just part of it. You know, we don't live in a bubble, do we? Difficulty will come, and we can be prepared. In fact, one of the coolest things that sometime I'm going to teach on it is when we talk about the concept of joy. The joy of the Lord is our strength. A lot of people have the idea that joy is simply the absence of pain, / adversity, / suffering. And I say that's one component, but it's not. I think the deeper thing about joy is being able to know that you can handle any adversity. Amen? Think about that for a moment. For us to know as a believer that whatever is thrown in our path, we can make it through it. Amen? And we can be able to do it in a way that's just pretty incredible. Oh, still it's tough. I'm sure Daniel, when he knew the ramifications of this law, I'm sure that he knew that everybody was they were a little bit jealous of him, right? I mean, you get that vibe when you read about it. They were jealous of him. He stood head and shoulders above them in terms of the excellent spirit that was within him. In other words, he was kind of making them look bad. He wasn't trying to. It's just who he was in terms of this thing of serving God. And so he knew that. And he knew Daniel wasn't an idiot. He knew that. How many of you know politicians will do some wild stuff? Go figure. That's all I'm going to say. So he knew that, okay, now it's crunch time. I can't help but believe, because he's human, that there was probably a little bit of concern, probably a little bit of a pucker, probably a little bit of a worry. But you know, established discipline and doing what's right can help us through and ride through those difficult, stormy times of life when we don't feel like we're up for the fight. So let's read. It's a great story. Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. And they went before the king. Can't you just see him like a bunch of little kids going to tell on somebody? And spoke concerning the king's decree. Have you not signed a decree that every man who petitions any god or man within 30 days except you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions? The king answered and said, this thing is true according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which does not alter. So they answered. How many of you know their question was a question to, you know, they were just laying their case. So they answered and said before the king, that Daniel, who is one of the captives from Judah, does not show due regard for you, O king, or for the decree that you've signed, but makes his petition 3 times a day. Let's stop there. When somebody outside of God looks at us Christians, do they see anything different than themselves? Yeah, saw Linda Preston go, I hope. And I do too. I hope they see something different. Don't you? In other words, they knew. They knew just like clock. Daniel didn't have to hang a sign. Listen, when you have to hang a sign around your neck that says I'm a Christian, right? Just be one. And it should be evident to those around us that we march to the beat of a different drum. That our marching orders are quite different. If I could say it another way. How many of you know being a Christian ought to be the most counterculture thing there is? It seriously ought to be so distinctly different. So they saw that, you know, 3 times a day, they knew. And the king, when he heard these words, I'm in verse 14, was greatly displeased with himself and set his heart on Daniel to deliver him. And he labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. In other words, the king really realized, boy, I tell you, my hands-off policy now is biting me in the tail, right? Because King Darius loved Daniel. Said earlier in the chapter that he was ready to turn over the whole realm under Daniel's leadership. Now all of a sudden it just hits him. Oh no, I've been trapped by these guys that have set this thing up to come against Daniel's. He labored all day to try to free him. Then these men approached the king and said to the king, know, O king, that it is the law of the Medes and Persians that no decree or statute which the king establishes may be changed. Isn't it interesting that when you find yourselves, I find this in people, even in Christians, that when you find yourself out of relationship, you always go to the letter of the law. Right? Here these guys are just hammering the letter of the law. Okay? They're not going to let the king out of this. So the king gave the command, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. But the king spoke, saying to Daniel, your God, whom you serve continually, he will deliver you. Then a stone was brought, laid on the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet ring and with the signets of his lords, that the purpose concerning Daniel may not be changed. Now the king went to his palace and spent the night fasting. Isn't that interesting? Because the king, obviously, at this stage, if I could say it this way, isn't a believer. Right? Went fasting. No musicians were brought before him, and his sleep went from him. In other words, he didn't sleep. The king arose very early in the morning and went with haste to the den of lions. And when he came to the den, he cried out with a lamenting voice to Daniel. The king spoke, saying to Daniel, "Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve, continually been able to you deliver from the lions?" And I just love this. "Oh, yeah, I'm here, king. Live forever." Can you just imagine that day? Can you imagine what that must have been like? Really? For the king to be brokenhearted that this great guy that he loved, that obviously had proven himself, you just think that, you know, there's going to be blood and maybe a little bit of clothing left over, right? And then to hear Daniel say, "Oh, king, live forever. My God sent his angel and shut the lion's mouth so that they have not hurt me because I was found innocent before him. And also, O king, I've done no wrong before you." Now the king was exceedingly glad for him and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken out of the den. No injury whatever was found on him because he believed in his God. And the king gave the command, and they brought those men who accused Daniel, and they cast him into the den of lions. Them, how many of you know the price they paid? Their children and their wives, and the lions overpowered them and broke all their bones in pieces. Look at this. Before they ever came to the bottom of the den. That's pretty gruesome. Serious. Before they ever hit the ground, they're dead. Okay? Now look. Then King Darius wrote to all peoples, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, "Peace be multiplied to you. I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom, men must tremble and fear before the God of Daniel. He is the living God and steadfast forever. His kingdom is the one which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall endure to the end. He delivers and rescues, and he works signs and wonders in heaven and on earth. He has delivered Daniel from the power of the lions." So this Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius and in the reign of Cyrus the Persian. What an incredible story. And you know what? I believe the principle of that story can affect us today. That if we'll stay disciplined and keep doing what's right in the midst of whatever storm we may find ourselves in, I believe we can have a confidence that we're going to come out the other side of this thing okay. We're going to come out the other side of it alive. We're going to come out the other side of it, even if I could say it this way, I know it may be a stretch, especially there's sometimes storms can be incredibly powerful, but we can come out the other side of it as good or better than when we went into it. Because listen, what do you think happened to the inner part of Daniel on the other side of it? Oh, can you imagine what happened to his confidence in God? Amen. Can you imagine what happened to him just knowing, my God is faithful? Listen, it's one thing to be able to say my God is faithful and have never been challenged, and a completely other thing to know that you've been challenged and you come out the other side. And then when you say my God is faithful, let me tell you what, there's a completely different conviction behind those two things. Amen. It's one thing to say he's our healer and have never had anything more than the common cold, than to be able to experience some sort of a physical attack against your body and to come out on the other side of it well and healed. Then when that person says, "We serve a God that heals," how many of you know there's a completely different confidence? There's a completely different passion behind it. It's easy to affirm all the things we know about God when those things have never been challenged or put, if I could say it this way, put to the test in our life. How about Abraham? when he was asked to offer Isaac. What do you think happened to Abraham on the other side of the thing when he heard that in the bushes? How many of you know Abraham then could say, God is my provider. And have a whole different oomph behind it than somebody that says that and have never had to give it all. Amen? So then that begs the question. So are you saying we ought to look for adversity? Oh, you don't have to look for it, honey. It'll come. But listen, what we can do is we can count it all joy. Knowing what? If we know our place and know our people, we've got a place to turn. If we can just keep our emotions intact, keep our emotions under wraps. And sometimes, how many of you know emotions want to be expressed? So sometimes it's good to keep our mouth shut. Isn't that right? Turn to your neighbor and tell them to shut their mouth and see if they still love you at the end of it. No. Isn't that right? How many of you know sometimes it's just not good to express what you're feeling at the moment, especially when it's negative and under pressure? Amen? Okay, you don't like that one. You don't like that point, but I understand. Then third, if we can just stay disciplined and keep doing what's right. Amen? Just keep doing what's right. Keep doing what's right. Well, what's right? Well, let's maybe try to adopt some of what Daniel did. It said three times a day. I'm not saying that unless you go to God three times a day, you're missing it. The point is, regularly, Daniel spent time daily with God. Amen? We need to keep doing that. We need to keep, you know, I know sometimes when things take place and when storms take place, we may not want to do some things like go to church. I understand that. The last month and a half for me, I'm just going to tell you, there's been a few Sundays that I would have rather not come here. Amen? There's a few Sundays that some of the songs that we sang, just, and for those of you, you know, maybe they weren't around, I lost my brother just a little over 5 or 6 weeks ago. And I'm just going to tell you, some songs that we sang, I just wanted to keep my mouth shut. Not that I disagreed or anything like that. I'm just talking that emotionally, from a feelings perspective, emotionally, I just wasn't quite all there. Are you with me? And that's okay. But guess what? I'm going to come to church anyhow, not just because I'm the pastor. I know you say, well, if you weren't the pastor, you probably wouldn't have been here. No, I can tell you this. I would have. Why? Because that's what's right. Because I'm smart enough to know. I may not be the brightest light on the tree, but there is enough electricity for me to know. The worst thing I can do is remove myself from my place and my people. It's the worst thing I can do. Amen? And my emotions, never once has there been a question in me about the goodness of God or anything like that. Okay? It's just that, you know, you just take a hit and it's just like, this is kind of like practicing bleeding. Who needs this? This just isn't any fun. But guess what you do? I can tell you this, not in a boastful way, but in an encouraging way. I've still prayed and God in the Word every day. Why? Because I know I got to stay disciplined and do what's right. Amen? And just keep doing it. And just keep doing it. Because guess what? I know this. That some of the feelings that are associated with a tough thing, a tough fight, a sucker punch, whatever it may be, I know this. They cannot last forever when, listen, if I just keep going over and over and over and over the why and the whatever, guess what? I can just kind of keep that sediment stirred up. But you know what? I just can go, you know what? My trust is still firmly planted in God. I'm standing on the solid rock. And I know this. those feelings can't last forever. So I'm just going to button them down and just realize that, okay, those are some of the things you're feeling, but you know what? You're going to still keep doing what's right. Amen? Yeah. I don't know if you... Well, we'll stop there. Okay, number four. Well, let me just say this about staying disciplined, doing what's right. System and habit holds us steady in the midst of a storm. System and habit hold us steady in the midst of a storm. What do you mean? When you don't feel like getting up that day, get up anyhow. You don't feel like going into your, I don't know, maybe where, however you do it, or wherever you do it. Maybe you do it in your bedroom. Maybe you do it in another room. Maybe you do it in your recliner. Maybe you do it outside in the summertime or whatever. But you know what? Your normal times that you spend with God, this, guess what? Do it. Yeah, but I don't feel any passion. That's okay. Do it. Just do it. Yeah, but I had somebody tell me once, yeah, but when I do that, I feel like I'm being a fake. So the question is, are you fake? Well, no. Then do it. But I don't feel like it. Well, just do it. Amen? Because that's what will become the anchor to keep your feet on the rock. But do it with this knowledge. These feelings won't last forever. The storm that you're in won't last forever. This too shall pass. Amen? Four. Go to the book of Proverbs, chapter 24. This is point number four, and we'll start wrapping it up. Let's start reading in verse 5. A wise man is strong. Yes, a man of knowledge increases strength. For by wise counsel you'll wage your own war. And in a multitude of counselors there is safety. Amen? For by wise counsel you will wage your own war. And in a multitude of counselors there's safety. So here's my point. Number four, get some help by those closest to you in your life, because in the multitude of counselors, there's safety. Safety against what? It's really important to understand what the safety is for, or what it prohibits, or what it holds back. In the midst of war, in the midst of a fight, how many of you know things can be really topsy-turvy? Again, our emotions can, it's incredible how our emotions can speak things and say things that we would maybe never say or think or feel. And so it's important to get help. I know some say, well, bless God, I don't need any help. I have the Holy Spirit myself. Okay, I understand that. But it says in the multitude of counselor. Now, what kind of counsel? The idea isn't just any sort of counsel. So how many of you know, we don't turn to somebody that isn't wise. And for the Christian, I believe this. I'm not saying that there's people that are non-Christians don't have any wisdom. I'm not saying that. But how many of you know that when it comes to spiritual things about God, we don't turn to godless counselors? Does that make sense? But we go to wise counsel. It's kind of like some people say practice makes perfect. That's a lie. Perfect practice makes perfect. Because you can practice something wrong and all you'll learn to do is to do it wrong. But wise counsel. In other words, we don't go to somebody who's bitter against God. Or we don't go to somebody who's necessarily kind of unsuccessfully getting through their own battles. How many of you know that we go to somebody that is successful in their walking it out? Does that make sense? In other words, I want to go to somebody who's been there and done that, as opposed to somebody that hasn't. Right? I wouldn't necessarily want to go to somebody. I'll give examples to just help you out. I wouldn't, if I found myself up against a battle of sickness and disease, I don't know that I would want to go to somebody that's never been sick and ask them to give me counsel. Now, some people would disagree with that and say, well, God's word supersedes experience. I agree with that. But I also know that the passion that comes from counsel of somebody that's been there and does that, also packs a completely different punch, right? To use another example, why would I go to somebody who's never had kids to get counseling on my kids? Well, can they speak the truth? Yeah, they can. They really can. And they might be able to say something exactly what somebody else would say, but because somebody else has successfully demonstrated that they can raise kids, just packs a different punch. Isn't that right? If I wanted to get counsel on and learn how to snow ski, and I'm talking to somebody that wrote a book on snow skiing, right? And then I ask them the telltale question, so how do you like snow skiing? And they respond with, well, I've never done it. What would happen to their credibility of what they said to me? I'd probably just go, eh, I'll find somebody else. Amen? So, here it says, wise counsel, or by wise counsel, you'll wage your own war. And in a multitude of counselors, there's safety. I know for me, pastoring here, I've been so blessed to have a guy, my pastor that I grew up with, Brother Bierman. I've been so blessed to be able to get on the phone to him during times of many different storms. Amen? I can get on the phone with him and say, Brother Bierman, here's what I'm up against. Can you give me some wise counsel? Now, when we hear counsel, how many of you know if we're not careful in the emotional? Now, when I say emotional, I'm just not talking wild emotion. I'm not talking about that. But just in the state that we're in, our war has begun, or we're in the throes of war. When we hear counsel, if we're not careful, our humanness and our human pride can step in and we can simply just not receive it. Amen? So in hearing, here's a sub-point under get some help in the multitude of counselors, their safety. Here's the sub-point. Going to somebody to get help that is, I'll say this and hopefully now you know what I mean, that's qualified to give us that. Doesn't mean that they have to have a degree in counseling. I'm just talking about by what you're getting counsel about, they can speak about it. Okay? How many of you know we have to come with a heart of openness / submission to what they have to say? Am I right? Because listen, I could hear somebody think, yeah, but they may give wrong counsel. Okay, let me just fire back with this. But the emotional state that you're in, you may not be the best qualified to recognize whether it is right or wrong. So we're left with, do I agree? Do I disagree? And I just want to encourage you. If we'll come to get help from those in our lives that are qualified to help us, just understand, you're in the middle of battle, and your ability to filter may be compromised. And so we have to come with a heart of submission that says, you know what? They've been there, done that. They've walked down this road, and they've shown themselves trustworthy, faithful, and all of that. You know what? I'm going to take that advice. Okay? And, you know, it's not bad to get the advice of more than one, but let me just give you some wisdom. If you're not careful, you'll have itching ears, and you'll find somebody that you want to tell you what you want to hear in the midst of your emotional whatever. Amen? And that could be our downfall, right? For by wise counsel, you'll wage your own war, and in a multitude of counselors, there's safety. A lot of people misinterpret that verse, by the way. If you'll ask the typical Christian, about 60% of them, if you start the verse, in the multitude of counselors, there is, finish it for me, most people will say wisdom. And it does not say that. The same scripture is said a little bit later in Proverbs. It says there's safety. Amen? How many of you want to be safe when we're going through a tough time? I want to be safe when I'm waging war. Because I want to come out the other side alive. I want to come out the other side healthy. I want to come out the other side strong. I want to come out the other side not bitter. I want to come out the other side better. I want to come out the other side with a healthy look at God. I want to come out the other side not an old pickled, soured up Christian. Amen? Soured up Christians just give God a bad taste. Amen? So, we're going to close there with that. Is that okay? What criteria do you use for seeking the help of a counselor? What would some of the criteria be? Proven track record. Isn't that right? A proven track record. Do they have a proven track record? Not of perfectness. Because if that's the rubric, then guess what? You'll never get counsel, only from God. Right? But a proven track record. That their relationship with God, their walk with God, that they've been faithful, that they've been there, done that, and it's there. I mean, you know, it's got to be a person of integrity as well, right? And listen, let me just say this. If you're called upon to counsel, I want to encourage you, your counsel is confidential. Quickest way to get somebody to not look out for counsel ever again is for you to divulge information that was shared to you in confidence. Isn't that right? That's the quickest way to get somebody to go, oh, I'm not doing that again. Well, I was doing it to just pray. No, you were just giving into your flesh and giving gossip. Amen? Turn to your neighbor and say, he's not talking about you. He's talking to the person next to you. Amen? Proven track record. Faithful. A person of integrity. Right? Those have at least got to be some of the things that we look at when we're looking for somebody to give us counsel about something. And that whole idea of getting counsel, I'll just be real honest, it's just, you may find yourself in the midst of the storm, you may find yourself kind of resistant to counsel. I just want to encourage you to look at yourself. Maybe you're allowing pride. Amen? Amen. Maybe you're allowing pride to have a too prominent spot in our lives because you know what? I shouldn't need counsel. I've been walking with God for however long. Let's not be there. Amen. Let's realize that we, you know, help is helpful and wise counsel will help us wage our war. Let's just be humble enough to say, you know what? I need some help here. Amen. How many of you know marriages? How many marriages maybe could have been averted if both parties would have recognized they need help in this thing and they're going to ask instead of waiting, you know, to the last minute. They're on their way, if I could say it this way. They're on their way to make it legal that they're no longer going to be married and they'll stop by to just see if somebody can help them. How many of you know if it could be more quick to realize, you know, this isn't healthy. I need some help here. We might be able to avert a lot of different stuff. Amen? Are you with me this morning? Okay. Well, we are going to be done. Let's bow our head and close our eyes.
Thank you for listening to this podcast by Pastor Lynn Schall of Amazing Grace Fellowship, Twin Falls, Idaho. We hope this teaching has inspired you with the word of truth, the reality of faith, and the message of the goodness of God.